You're probably familiar with the man General George Patton, World War II general. He said this, and I hope you'll listen, because this is important for the introduction of this message today. George Patton said this: if we take the generally accepted definition of bravery as a quality which knows not fear, I have never seen a brave man. All men are frightened. The more intelligent they are, the more they are frightened. The courageous man is the man who forces himself, in spite of his fear, to carry on. I appreciate his quote, that coming from a man who seemed to have no fear. And yet he realized that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the man who forces himself, in spite of his fear, to carry on. Courage is something that we today need more than ever, because we have more to be fearful of in the human sense than ever before. When we look around the world and see what's happening, folks, we need courage, because there's much in the flesh to fear. In Joshua chapter 1, I read verses 10 to 18, but I want you to see verses 6, 7, and 9, because in these three verses, something is commanded. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Now, if courage is something that I am commanded to have, that means it's something that I don't have naturally. And if courage is something that you are commanded to have, and if you are commanded to be strong, there's no excuse by saying, well, I'm just one of those fearful type people. Well, then quit being disobedient. Well, I'm shy. I can't get up in front of people. Well, then get over it. Be strong. Be courageous. To possess what God has for you in your Christian life, folks, to leave your wandering in the wilderness, you have to have courage. And courage comes by obedience. And two other things that we're going to look at this morning. You know, you can tell someone to have courage, but God gives the reason to have courage. And whenever God tells you to be strong and to have courage, He doesn't just say it and leave you hanging. He gives you the reasons you should have courage. Imagine encouraging someone to fly before the Wright brothers. Imagine encouraging somebody to put themselves in this tube that has these wings on it. And imagine telling them that you're going to be hurtling down the runway at 180 miles an hour. Think about this before the Wright brothers. You're going to be hurtling down this runway at 180 miles an hour, and you in this tube will climb into the sky. And eventually you're going to be going 500 miles an hour. And then you're going to land. Be courageous. Upon what basis should that person be courageous? Because you told them? There's no basis. I used to read when I was a kid of people who, when trains were invented, the steam engine was invented, they would get in this train and it'd be going 45 miles an hour. And it was just, it would blow their minds. Can you imagine people today being told, now one day, there's going to be a thing that you can get in, a horseless carriage, and you can go down the highway consistently for 12 hours or as long as that gas tank will hold gas, and you can be doing 75 miles an hour. Have courage. I can imagine somebody who's just been riding horse and carriage getting into a car and gripping as they're going. They have no reason to be courageous. But you get into a jet today with no problem. At least most people do. You climb in and you're sitting there. In fact, you might fall asleep as that plane goes down the runway. What's the difference? The difference is you have a foundation for courage. You have knowledge. You now understand how that plane is built for the most part. Or you understand how that car is built for the most part. You see many other people doing it. You have reason for courage. Children of Israel have come to where they're going to cross the Jordan River. The same giants that intimidated their forefathers are still on the other side of the Jordan River. What is the basis for courage? Here it is. Have not I commanded thee? Who? God. And I will be with you. There is the basis or the foundation for courage. Joshua motivates the people as we read in verses 10 to 15. And they're motivated. But what motivated Joshua? The same thing that will motivate you. The same thing that will give you courage to possess what God has for you. Let's read it. Verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the giants, great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, the 12 spies knew this when they spied the land 40 years earlier, that God would be with them, but they disobeyed. To obey Joshua, Caleb, and now God tells Joshua, now, remember, I've commanded you. Be strong and be very courageous. I want you to see the possession of the inheritance. If you're going to live a life that pleases God, it's going to require courage. Possession of the inheritance requires courage. What land? The land we've been talking about the past few weeks. Living a victorious Christian life requires courage. Not allowing the sin and the flesh in our lives to get us down. It's going to require courage. The first thing that God commands that will give courage for you to possess the land is the same thing He commanded the children of Israel. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Obedience to God's will. Look at what it says in verse 2. Look at this command. Now therefore, arise, go. Why did the children of Israel lack courage? Or why do we sometimes lack courage? Not because we don't know God's will, but because we know it and we're not willing to obey it. That's really what it comes down to in the lives of a lot of people. It's not, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, what do you know that God wants you to do? And are you obeying what you know God has already commanded you to do? Well, no. There's your problem. If I don't know His will, it's my fault because God has revealed His will to me in His Word. Oh, it may not be what I'm supposed to be doing next year or 10 years from now, but has God revealed to you what He wants you to do today? Yes. We read verses like this, "For this is the will of God." There it is, very plainly stated. This is the will of God, and here's how the verse continues. Even your sanctification. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. If you don't know what God's will is for you from a week from now or next year, here's how much you do know, and are you obeying in what you do know? This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. The word sanctification has to do with being set apart. Even your sanctification has to do with your being holy. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. That's God's will for you today and every day. And as you're in God's will today and tomorrow and the next day, you'll be in His will a year from now and 10 years from now. If I am simply obeying Him from day to day. Here's what will give courage. Obedience to God's will. But here's what discourages people. Here's what takes courage away from people. They're not living in the will of God. They're not living a holy life. And thus they lose courage. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world." Here's one reason a lot of people don't have courage, because they're so conformed to this world that to stand up against it while they're conformed to it, they know will not work. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable and perfect will of God." There's the will of God again. We flounder, we hesitate, we walk timidly, because we're involved in questionable activities and doubtful activity. We can't do in obedience to 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." If I know that what I am doing is to the glory of God and it pleases Him, I can be strong and I can be of good courage. Because I know I am walking in obedience to the will of God. The first thing God tells Joshua to do as leader is that which the people rebelled at doing 40 years earlier. If Joshua had any doubt that what he was doing was right, he would not have had the courage to do it. I find it interesting that word courage that you see, translated courage throughout this chapter, is in other passages of the Bible translated harden. H-A-R-D-E-N. You remember anybody hardening his heart in the Bible? You remember the man Pharaoh? It's the same word used of Pharaoh hardening his heart against the Lord. Having courage is hardening your heart in the Lord. Think of it that way. My heart is hard. It is steadfast. I will do what God commands me to do. Oh, I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it because God told me to do it. That's the word courage. There was a man by the name of Thomas J. Jackson, graduate of West Point, who fought in the Mexican War of 1846 to 1848. During one of the battles he was in as a second lieutenant, Thomas J. Jackson's guns were almost gone. One of his cannons was completely disabled. All of his horses were either dead or dying. And all of his gunners turned and ran. Thomas J. Jackson stood there. And it's described this way. He paced back and forth in the road, seeking to stir up courage in his men, while all around him bullets ricocheted off the ground and rocks. He yelled, "There's no danger! See, I'm not hit!" he shouted. At that point, a cannonball from one of the Mexican guns rolled between his legs. He stood his ground. And they won that day, that battle. Years ago, this same Thomas J. Jackson, whom you know as Stonewall Jackson, during the war between the states, when he was teaching at the Virginia Military Institute, what he had done during that war years earlier was still fabled, and people still talked about it. And one of his students at VMI raised his hand and said, "Why didn't you run?" Listen to his answer. Jackson answered, "I was not ordered to do so. If I had been ordered to run, I should have done so. But I was directed to hold my position, and I had no right to abandon it." That was Stonewall Jackson. Folks, you've got a command, and you have no right to abandon it. You may be scared. You may be fearful. But the command is there. Stand your ground. Be strong and have a good courage. Go across this Jordan and defeat the enemy. You have no right to abandon that command. It is a command. One of the hardest things for me to do, when I went to college as a freshman, majoring in Bible, planning on going into the ministry, was getting up in front of people. You say that today, "Well, I just do it naturally." Do you not realize that every time I get up to speak, I am fearful? Oh, you say, I didn't ever see that. Well, you may not. But there's still that element of fear. So then why do you do it? Because I have a command. And I must do it. I must do it. Did you know that courage doesn't come by asking God for it? I was searching the Bible, and I cannot find anywhere where we're supposed to ask God for courage. Anytime he talks about courage, he says, "Have it! Use it! Do it!" The only command is, obey me. You see, if I would just get courage by asking God for it, then if I'm still fearful, I would say, "Well, I don't have courage. God didn't answer my prayer, so I'm not going to do it." Folks, courage comes by obeying. Have you ever had the opportunity to give somebody the gospel and you were kind of afraid to do it? You were kind of afraid to witness to somebody? Happens to me all the time. So then why do you do it? Because you have a command, and I am to obey the command. And like Stonewall Jackson said, "I was never ordered to run, so I must obey." And years later, during the war between the states, they would say, his men would say, "There's Stonewall Jackson there on his horse, standing firm, and he would not move." What had happened to that man? He had obeyed his orders so many times that even in the face of fear and even in the face of enemy fire, he would stand his ground like a stone wall. Folks, we need some Stonewall Christians. Every Christian ought to be a Stonewall Christian, where you stand and you do what God has commanded you to do in spite of the fear. You just do it. So we get courage from obeying God's will. That's where it comes from. I do it because God's commanded me. Secondly, the second command that gives courage to possess the land is what we're going to see in verse 5. And here's what I want you to remember. Not only obedience to God's will, but here's the second thing. The knowledge of God's presence. God is with me. Well, now, wouldn't that give you courage to know that God is with you? You know, sometimes it's interesting that I can do something if somebody bigger and stronger is with me. Then all of a sudden, I've got courage. You do the same thing. It's something that we were talking about last week, that you and God make a majority. And if I know that God is with me, I can do anything. And that's what gave Joshua courage. That's what gave these people courage, is the knowledge of God's presence. Look at it again in verse 5. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, wouldn't that be neat if God gave you a promise like that? You know where I'm going, don't you? Oh, if God were just with me as He was with Moses. And maybe Joshua was saying the same thing. Oh, if God would just be with me as He was with Moses. And God comes out and says, you know what, Joshua? As I was with Moses, now I'm with you. Would that give you courage? But what's the very first thing that God tells Joshua as he opens this book? He doesn't mince words. Go back to verse 2. Moses, my servant, is... Yeah, he's dead. And they had a memorial service for 30 days. They didn't even have a funeral because the grave was unknown. You can go back to chapter 34 of Deuteronomy in verse 6, and they don't even know where Moses was. And the reason Moses was gone was because he was unable to lead the people himself. No, it was because of his sin against the Lord. How he had made God look to the people. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 51. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. It was because of the way that Moses made God look to the people. Now, when somebody prior to you fails, and now you take their place, and they failed because of disobedience, and now God says, now I'm going to have you do it, any amount of pressure on you? Overwhelmed. Loneliness, that Moses is now gone. He with whom the Bible says God had spoken face to face. How do you replace a man like that? How do you fill the shoes of a man like that, or the sandals, however you want to put it? Furthermore, we never read any more of the fiery pillar by night or the cloud by day that went before the children of Israel for the previous 40 years. It's no longer there. And yet God says, Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I'm with you. It's a promise. It's a promise. Folks, why is it we lack courage? Because we don't accept God's promise of His presence. At least two things are necessary for you to acknowledge God's presence to give you the power to possess the land God has for you. Number one, here's what knowledge of God's presence will give you power to do. Knowledge of God's presence will give you the power to proclaim. If you only knew that God was with you when you needed to tell someone of God's saving power, would you have the power to do it? Would you have the courage to do it? If you knew God was with you. If you were sitting on an airplane and somebody sat down beside you and they saw that, you know what, you were reading maybe your Bible, if you had the courage to do that. Would you have the courage to speak up and say something to them about the Lord who has saved you? Would you have the courage to do it? Well, I would have. I knew God was with me. If you had the opportunity someday to a relative who was doing what was pulling them even deeper into sin, would you have the courage to say to them, you know what? God has the power to save you from that. Would you have the courage to do that? Well, if I only knew God was with me, I could do it. Well, do you believe God's promise when He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When When you see the commands in Scripture that we are to be witnesses, you also see accompanying encouragements that, now listen, I'm with you. I'm with you. Folks, that's one of the foundations of courage, is to know that God is with me. Power to proclaim. Secondly, power to be content. If you only knew that God would make sure that your needs were met, would you have the courage to be content with what you have? Would you? I read this in Hebrews 13:5. Let your way of life be without loving money. That's my literal translation. Being content with the things at your disposal. You know what it is. Be content with such things as ye have. Why? What's the basis for that? In fact, let's just have you turn to it, because if I quote it, it's going to go over your heads, but if you see it, maybe it'll stick. Hebrews 13. Look at it, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, that's your way of life, as I was translating it earlier. Let your way of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Come on, be content. Now, folks, if you only knew that God would make sure your needs were met, would you have the courage to be content with what you have? Well, have I finished this verse yet? Let's read on. Because, or for, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's powerful. He hath said, do you see that word said? For he has said. Well, where has he said that? You can do a search in your Bible and try to find where it says, where God said this. And you know where it's going to take you? If you go to your Strong's Concordance, you try to find this phrase where it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, where did he say that? Right where your finger's at in Joshua chapter 1. That teaches me that what God tells Joshua is the same thing he tells me. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that promise that was given to Joshua stands just as strongly for you and for me. He has said to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Therefore, have the power to be content. Have the power to proclaim. And as you look at it there in Hebrews chapter 13, there's a double negative. Some of you know what I mean when I talk about double negatives. Look at it right there where it says, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the Greek, it's a double negative. And the double negative is for emphasis. And remember how I translate that? Does anybody remember how that is? There ain't no way I'm going to leave you. There ain't no way I'm going to forsake you. That's the literal non-English way of saying it. There ain't no way God's going to leave you. There ain't no way He is going to forsake you. Now, that's Hebrews 13:5. What does this give when I realize this? That God's never going to leave me nor forsake me. We'll look at verse 6. So that we may say, but I left out an adverb. So that we may say, but I left out an adverb. What's the adverb, folks? Out loud, please. Boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Folks, that's courage. The knowledge of God's presence will transform your life. And that's what we need to have knowledge of. Why is it that Jesus said, now where two or three are gathered together there in my name, there I am in the midst. Oh, if I only knew He was here. If we only knew He was here with us, folks. Hey, He's here. Let's accept His promise. And the knowledge of God's promise gives you the power to proclaim and the power to be content. Thirdly, I'm going to have courage to possess the land, it requires obedience to His will, requires the knowledge of His presence, and thirdly, it requires meditation on God's law. It requires that I meditate on God's law. Look at verse 6 and 7 and 8. It actually gets down to verse 8 where I really want you to see this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but what will you do with it? If you do this day and night, then you're going to observe to do all according to what that is written therein. Then you're going to make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success. If you do what? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That word meditate there is associated with making a low sound. And as I've studied this and have seen this, it's like a dove moaning or someone whispering. That's the word meditate. And so Bible scholars think that this has the idea of talking to yourself Scripture and ruminating that Scripture in your mind. It's talking to myself Scripture. Here's a time when it's good for you to talk to yourself. Talk to yourself Scripture. Talk to yourself Scripture. Talk to yourself Scripture. That's what good Bible memorization does. It's talking to yourself Scripture and telling yourself what Scripture says. In fact, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy what? Out of your mouth. Talk to yourself Scripture. A good way to memorize is to memorize by quoting aloud to yourself, at least in a whisper. You talk to yourself when you're deep in thought. You talk to yourself when things are important to you. Talk to yourself Scripture. What was not to depart out of thy mouth? This book of the law. What books did they have when you get to the book of Joshua? If no books of the law were to depart, what books did they have? The book of Philippians that says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Did they have the book of Romans? Did they have the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What they had were the five books of Moses, the books that people today say, I'm going to skip over that. I need to get to the good stuff. Oh, I like Genesis, that's okay. The first part of Exodus is fun because it talks about the Passover, but not Leviticus and not Numbers and not Deuteronomy. Really? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's talking about those five books, the Pentateuch. How do we know? Go back to Deuteronomy 31. You're in Joshua. Just go back to the previous book, chapter 31. Verses 6 and 8. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto the fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You say, what does that have to do with meditating on God's word? Verse 9, note what it says. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi. Folks, that's why when you get to the book of Joshua, it says this book of the law. What book of the law? Deuteronomy 31:9, the law that Moses wrote. So the book referred to in Joshua 1:8 is exactly what Moses wrote. The books which, after Genesis and mid-Exodus, many give up in their Bible reading. The Bible books that many people skim through. And what is it about these books that bore them? It's not the genealogies, it's the laws. Of God's law. Amen. Israelites were to be God-focused rather than self-focused. Instead of looking at God's law as saying, well, that's one more thing I can't do, you know what they would do? They would probably say, hey, here is one more way I can please God. Why today do we not meditate on God's Word? We love to read stories. We love to talk about God's love and salvation and how He answers prayer. But folks, His instructions, which is the book of the law, we find burdensome or difficult. That's the word used in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not difficult. Why do we lack courage today? Because we don't know God's law. His law is to us a list of do's and don'ts, rather than listen, a revelation as to who He is. His creation of man, His covenant with Abraham, His leading His people into Egypt to save them from famine, His redeeming His people from bondage, His deliverance of His people from Pharaoh's army, His getting together a people for Himself, His sustaining them in the wilderness is all a revelation as to who God is. Psalm 19, 7 and 8. Would you go there quickly, please? Psalm 19, 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So as those verses say that the law of the Lord is perfect and brings rejoicing to the heart, it doesn't bring grief. Now read Psalm 19:14 in that context. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And folks, if you truly meditate on God's word, it will affect you. It will affect you. Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8 show that the observance of God's law will affect two things. And I end with these two things. Number one, it'll affect your propensity. You know what I mean by propensity? Verse 7. What is our tendency to do, according to verse 7? We tend, look at the last part of the verse, to go from it. We tend to turn from God's law to the right hand or to the left, and we're not supposed to turn. Our propensity is to wander. That's why the psalmist says this in Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, thy word have I hid into my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do I keep from wandering? Thy word have I hid in my heart. It has to do with meditation on God's word. Observance, folks, of God's law always requires courage to walk the straight path. But just having courage is not a virtue. Does it require courage to do something stupid? Sometimes it does. So just having courage is not a virtue. It requires courage to jump off of a building, but that's stupid. It requires courage to stand up for evil, but that's stupid. So we must ask, I need courage then to do what? To observe. Verse 7 again, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe. We read this in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What's the result? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That brings us to the second effect of observing God's law. It's verse 8, prosperity. Prosperity does not come by sending some TV evangelist your savings. It comes from doing, according to this verse, according to all that is written therein. Folks, it's one thing to hear God's word, it's another thing to do it. Hearing God's word may not require courage, but doing it does. the wise man and the foolish man in Matthew chapter 5. One built his house upon the sand, the other upon the rock. Prosperity is not having your house or your life fall apart when difficult times come. You want to know the secret of success? You can make your way prosperous, not by practicing yoga. You can make your way prosperous, not by thinking positive thoughts, but by meditating to observe, to do God's law. That's where success comes. Verse 9 of Joshua 1 summarizes the three things I've given you today. Obedience to His will, knowledge of God's presence, and meditation on God's law. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. How are you going to have the courage to possess the land that God has already given you? How? Obey His will. Acknowledge His presence. Meditate on His law. Now, courage is something you're commanded to have. It doesn't come natural. Just because somebody gets up behind of a pulpit doesn't mean that that comes natural to them. Just because somebody is a good evangelist and witnessing to people doesn't mean it comes natural to them. It's something that we simply do to obey God's word. Father, I pray that we would be strong and very courageous.